Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is June 5th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting Motor Vitality, where you can listen to years and years and years' worth of archives. Although, on that note, a couple announcements. First and foremost, I'm super excited to, I guess let me put this before the website stuff, but the super excited that we are going to have a guest speaker next week. I love those. This is one I've been trying to put together since we were in Long Beach at the WQA convention. This is going to be – I went to see this guy speak, and he's a scientist at Morton Salt. So not salesy. He's just geeky about salt. It was great. So not the – you know, there wasn't the salesy stuff. There wasn't the – you know, we'll do this because of that. It was just science on salt. And there was some really cool information there about, like, iron out and the impact of it. And so I'm really excited to have that conversation next week. So please join us. Come early. Please join us for that. Now, on to the website. I am doing, as I mentioned last week, I'm doing a ton of work on the back end of the website. There are some glitches on it. If you're visiting MotorVitality.com, just hit refresh. If you get an error that says critical error, hit refresh and it loads up. I don't know why that's happening, but I'm doing some back end stuff on it. We're moving some stuff around. You know, my IT guy, it's hard for me to get him to work on stuff. You know, to sit down and it's hard to, I don't know. He always makes excuses like he's busy and he's running other companies and stuff like that. You know, one of these days, man, one of these days. So, isn't that right, Michelle, the IT guy? The guy's horrible, right? Anyway, that's me.
He's very busy. Sorry. Yes. Wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah, that's me. So I am trying to work on that in the next couple of days, and we should fix that issue. And the website is going to be a lot cleaner and a lot neater, and you guys will be able to find the resources that Motor Vitality has to offer a lot more easily. So with that, let's start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Anybody? Anybody have anything? Anybody? So I do want to mention, and I want to border on, I want to mention this without in any way sounding political in any way, but there's a lot of stuff happening. Michelle, you just forwarded me a news story, you know, about drilling in Minnesota and the impact it may have on the water and stuff like that. With the new legislation that's passing and the bills that are passing, the new administration, this happens every time we have a new administration, but there are a lot of these news stories. Now, a lot of them are steeped in political, you know, angst, I understand. So it doesn't really matter which side of the aisle you're on. Sometimes these conversations may arise from your customers on the water issues. There's a lot of stuff that I've been seeing come across my feed recently. You know, there's some things that are impacting water quality. And anytime you have a change in party or administration, I think it's not uncommon to have these types of changes for better or worse. And being aware of them, I think, is handy because you don't want to be ambushed by your customers. You need to know. So Google alerts are awesome. It's been a while since we've talked about those. But if you don't know what Google alerts are, Google alerts, and it will explain to you what they are. But essentially, you can pick a word or words and tell Google that you would like to see any stories, any news stories about that particular topic. And you can determine how often they send you the message. I usually do them on some of them once a day. So they come across and it's just an email, you know, with several several key words that you put in. So I'd recommend, if you haven't done that, to do that, just to stay up on what's happening out there in our industry right now. Your customers are seeing news stories, and they're going to ask you about it. And if we are water treatment experts, and then it's, you know, it adds some credibility to us if we're aware of what's happening out there with water quality and with our industry. So any thoughts on that?
Hi, it's Michelle. Yes. For those of you who might not know, I live on Long Island in New York. And historically, we have, even though we're on municipal water, we don't have the greatest water. And the representative that we elected, who got picked to be, I believe, for the EPA, Lee Zeldin, rolled back some of the water restrictions, I guess, or new for PFAS and PFOA that has been detected in our water, even going through the municipal water, and he rolled it back, and there has been a lot of outrage in the newspaper. People have been writing editorials and sending letters to the newspaper that, you know, they just don't understand. You know, he's from Long Island. He lives here. The water has been an issue with all of the – we had Grumman. You know, we put people on the moon here from Long Island, and that all went down into the ground. And, Kelly, I know you could speak a little more to that as well, since you were here working for a while. But I know it has people concerned. So I would think there would be an uptick in people now realizing that the government – is not, was paying attention, is maybe now not paying as much attention, and that you have to fend for yourself if you want to make sure you have water, good water.
Well, I think that there are probably opinions on that matter on both. But you're right, Michelle, and the one thing I can say is that they should have left some of the people from Long Island on the moon. But you know, that's not for me to say either. There's some interesting characters out there. Lots of good ones. But like you, you're good. Anyway, moving on. Yes, thank you, Michelle. And I appreciate you sending me that. That sort of prompted this. So anyway, today I wanted to talk about this topic came up because I'm doing some work with our website, a different website, actually, and I hired a Google guy to help with SEO and stuff like that. And there were, you know, the issue is that sometimes there's a sense, I'm impatient sometimes. I want that stuff done. You know, I hire somebody else to do it because I don't have time to do it, and you know, I want them to work on it. And so I do tend to go in and touch stuff. And so, you know, I gave this person access to the website and the back end, and I went in and I looked at things, and I saw a couple things that were clearly messed up, and I fixed them and mentioned to, to be fair, I did try and call him several times, and he didn't get back with me on it before I fixed it, but I fixed it. And, you know, he was on vacation for a week, and I get all that. And in the meantime, my business isn't on vacation. And when I spoke with him, he was really mad. And he told me that he was going to have to fire me as a client. And, you know, it reminded me, I've been in relationships, not any time recently, but in the past when I was in relationships, when every time you have some argument or disagreement, that like the person you're with, they like threaten, we just should break up. My ex-wife used to say that we should just get a divorce. I'm like, are you kidding me? We went straight there, you know, with that. You mean we're not going to work this out? You know, it's like, so, you know, but it kind of took me by surprise when he told me, he said, I don't think I'm going to work with you. You know, you're not trusting me to do my job, and you're, you know, I'm going to have to fire you. And we worked it out, and I didn't. And basically, the agreement was that I take hands off, you know, that I'm not. But also, it gave me an opportunity to tell him, look, I can't wait 2 weeks in between conversations or activity on this, it's got to be done. You know, we've got to make this happen. And it got all worked out. But it did make me, you know, think about those times that we as experts, you know, as water treatment experts are, you know, we have, maybe we put in equipment and the customer goes down and changes the plumbing around or buys a set of, you know, filters off of Amazon that clearly are not the right filters, or maybe goes in and changes the settings on the system. You know, they watch a YouTube video or something and they think that they're an expert. So my question to you guys is, at what point do you, or is it ever, is there ever a point where we fire our customers? Maybe it's a rental, you know, and we're out there. I mean, at what point do we have that conversation where we say, this is just not a good relationship? We need to, you know, we need to not work with each other. There are plenty of companies out there who would love to have your business, although I wonder about that, right? There are times that I wish customers had gone somewhere else. I'm sure you guys have had that too. But I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that and see what you guys thought. Is there ever a time where that's appropriate? What is that line, and how do you have that conversation?
Hey, Kelly, it's Catherine.
Hey, Catherine, how are you?
How are you? Good, good. I came on a little late. Are you talking about firing customers?
Yeah, yep.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah. So we've had to fire.
I love the way
we've
you
had
said
to
that.
Fire. No. Yeah. So we've had to fire some customers, clients, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, there's just some people you can't please. And we had this woman, oh my goodness, she was either on the wrong meds or she just needed to get on meds. We didn't know what her beef was, but we couldn't do anything to make her happy. And finally, I let her rant on the phone. And I said, you know, so-and-so, I just don't think we're the right fit for you. And good luck in finding, you know, the right water treatment professional. You know, I thank you for your time and goodbye. And I hung up. And it was a relief. I think my office applauded me afterwards. But we've got a few, you know, we use, you know, CRMs that have the chat. Yeah. And we've got clients that occupy my girl's time in the office too much by, like, chatting too much. And if they don't get an answer right away, they send angry chats. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we need to let this – is it worth it? But she doesn't like us girls, but, boy, she loves our technicians and plumbers we send out. So we still make money, but – sometimes there's a little added, I call it a PETA fee.
right. A PETA fee, absolutely. So, you know, there is something there, right? So at what point do you decide that it's not worth it? I mean, because there are some, look, there are different personalities, and we are in a business where we're working with the public. Now, I will say, I don't believe the customer is always right. The instance, the story that I mentioned from the beginning, look, I get where my Google guy was coming from. I do get that because, you know, he's trying to do stuff and I'm in there messing up his system. So I backed off from that. But it did allow me as the customer to have a conversation with him and say, look, I understand I won't touch it, but this is what I need from you. You know, these are the things that I need. And if you're not able to provide those, then maybe it makes sense that we part ways, you know? And, you know, I don't know how many customers have the ability to have that conversation with you as a, you know, because we're not perfect either in our businesses, right? And there are certain expectations the customer has, and maybe they are things that we could provide, but it's worth having that conversation with them. So, Catherine, you know, have you had with this customer or, you know, these customers, do you think that there's any time you could go to them and say, look, we want to be able to give the best service we can for you, but we're not able to do it quite at the level that you're asking. So maybe there are other companies out there that can do that. And maybe the customer comes back and says, well, I don't expect that, but maybe you could do this. You know, I mean, are there times that you could have that kind of that conversation so that it's a little more open on,
on their end.
On what the expectations for both parties.
Yeah, because sometimes people, and me as a homeowner, as a consumer, you know, sometimes you just, a homeowner doesn't know what they don't know, right? Just like we don't know what we don't know. And I could hire somebody to, do something that I don't know any information on, and I'm just trusting them, but my expectations are higher.
Yeah.
And I guess it's all about communication. And if you communicate to the homeowner initially, this is what you can expect from us. We're going to, you know, a three-step process or whatever, so that they have it clearly written. So when things go sideways, you can say, well, I feel like I'm a mother bear defending the cubs, you know, all the time. And the cubs are my technicians, you know. So when things go sideways, I have to say, all right, was my technician acting like a bear? Was he being a jerk? Or, you know, what happened? What went wrong? And if nothing went wrong, and if we met the expectations of the homeowner, you know, meaning if we did what we said we were going to do, kept our integrity, then their expectations were just, you know, a little off the mark.
On Long Island, when I was out there, boy, I experienced it out on Long Island more than any place I'd ever. I mean, there were certain groups of customers out there that were just demanding on every call. I mean, they would call up and I need somebody out here putting salt in this thing today. You know, but I mean, it was like, you know, I paid thousands of dollars for this system and I want salt in it right now. You know, and
they're calling on a Sunday because they think that's an emergency.
Right. They feel like that.
That's an East Coast thing.
Nasty. And I would sometimes, I mean, there were times where I had to say, okay, did you, you know, you're set for the, you know, if it was salt, you know, you're set for delivery on Tuesday, you know, did you, you know, you can go down. I mean, there are places out there on Long Island. This was crazy for me. Michelle, you're out there. You know, you're not so much where you're at. You're closer to South Shore, but on North Shore up in some of those areas, I mean, the very thought of them going to the store and buying their own bag of salt and putting it in their softener, oh, my God, I can't even believe I'm going to burn just for suggesting that on at all. I'm like, how dare you even suggest that I would touch my own system, you know, but man, were they, I mean, and there were times that I had to say, look, there may be companies that will do that. We're not one of them. And, you know, we have you on the schedule. You know, are you, do you still have water? Is there a flood? Is it leaking? Then this can probably wait till Monday, you know, and sometimes there's a little tough love that you have to give, you know, sometimes just and I think staying calm, but being matter of fact it was difficult for me to be on the receiving end of that. And that's what prompted this call. You know, when I had that conversation, it was difficult for me to hear the person that I hired and was paying tell me that I'm the reason that they're, you know, that I'm messing stuff up. And I didn't really like the way it was said to me, but I really did kind of, as a customer, from a customer standpoint, respect the decision. You know, it was clearly, I mean, it was something that, I mean, we went straight from A to Z, that, you know, from 0 to 100 with it. And that I don't like, but sometimes, I mean, I, you know, maybe I'm one of those customers that's so difficult that, you know, that was, it was felt that was needed. There certainly are those out there where you kind of look for an opportunity to wash your hands of them, because as I said, the customer is not always right. I know I grew up, you know, I used to hear that all the time. Customer's always right. No, they're really not. And it's not worth it to pretend that they are. I mean, you try and bend over backwards. We're in a service industry where we help them, but you don't, you know, sometimes it's best to part ways. Paul, Scott, you guys run into this stuff. What is your policy or position on this?
It is. I'm the guy that gets that call after somebody else can't handle that call. I have gone as far as we record our calls for training purposes. We notify our customers on that. I have sent phone calls to customers and emails to have them review how they treated our people. And it's kind of fun doing that, but I do my best to be as calm and cool as possible in every situation.
Yeah.
And the matter of fact is, you know, the salt, the bottled water. If I got a customer that's just complaining about not having bottled water, I'll find another customer very close by that has some extra and say, you know what? I got this worked out. You can go grab a bottle from over there. They're more than willing to lend you a bottle, you know. Try to come up with a solution for them, and sometimes it's just gonna be no, and you just gotta try to figure out how to, you know, come up with a solution in regards to the no is gonna be okay for them, and that they're gonna be okay. And we have fired clients for sure. You know, it just doesn't appear that this is working out for you or for us. You will be better off probably, you know, seeking a different vendor for these services. And doing,
you know, I look at for my business, I just, you talk about, you know, it just reminded me, we recently fired one of our suppliers, you know, somebody that we have bought a lot of stuff from. It's a particular test kit that we have sold a ton of. And it's a test kit I really like, but that was a decision that I left to Michelle and our warehouse manager, Lanya, but I was in 100% support of it, because the question was, how much time are you guys spending? It wasn't the product, and we're certainly, you know, selling a lot of this product, a lot of this particular test kit, but this particular company that makes these things, the communication right now, the lack of organization, the lack of communication. It was every time we got an order or had to deal with it, Michelle or Lanya were just pulling her hair out, you know, and just completely frustrated. And we had to make a decision. We're not going to work with them anymore, because the money we made off the test kits just simply wasn't worth. And the sigh of relief almost, Michelle, you were part of this. So you know, the sigh of relief was almost palpable. It was, I mean, you know, sometimes it costs way more to keep a customer than you would ever make. And that's simply a business decision that has to be made. Scott, you were going to say something about it?
I just say it's so tricky now because of the online reviews. And,
oh, right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we have from time to time have told customers that, you know, maybe this is not working out for you. But nowadays you have to, where you used to bend over backwards, you about have to bend over backwards two and three times, just to make sure that you've done everything that you could. So if that review does show up, that, you know, you have something to, you have something to address it with.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about this when we talked about online reviews, but what you just said is really critical and I think worth mentioning again. You know, you have to, there's two parts of that. First off, you have to have done everything that you can do, legitimately, you know, done what you can do to help the customer, you know, to work with them. That's part of it. The other part is, is having somebody monitor the reviews. You know, if you don't see that review, you know, that negative review for a month or 2 months, and you know, the damage that can be done during that amount of time is pretty huge. So there's got to be somebody there that can respectfully but firmly respond to those negative reviews. And I think that most customers, when they're looking at something like that, you can tell when somebody is unreasonable, when a customer is unreasonable. You can tell that. That's not, you know, but it is the response that the company makes. You know, here's what we tried to do to help you. You know, we're sorry. You know, we wish we could have worked it out. We wish you the best of luck. You know, and it's polite and respectful. Most people reading that negative review can tell, oh, yeah, it's one of those. I would have let them go, too. I would have fired that customer, too. But you've got to respond, because if you just leave that negative review out there with one side of the story, that can do, you know, and it can do quite a bit of damage to you. So that's it's a good point. What else, you guys? What are you guys saying? Anybody else have any comments? Shell, as a homeowner, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? You know, in business, well, first of all, I agree with you. You have to do everything that you can, you know, within reason to try and make the customer happy, rectify the problem, find a solution. With that said, back in a previous life, I worked in a large company where I oversaw a couple of hundred people, and some of them were in customer service. And I told them, I said, you should not expect that to take nastiness or foul language from a customer at all, ever. You know, if you try to help them, sometimes it's understandable that they're, you know, there's no immediate solution. So I think that there are times, and there are those people that, you know, even when you try, they want their solution right now, this moment, and if you can't give it to them, if you can't move heaven and earth to give it to them, they're going to give you a bad review. They're going to get nasty and badmouth you. So I think it's a very fine line. I think it's a case-by-case situation. There's no one-size-fits-all for this. And if I could jump back for a moment with what you said earlier, we agonized and it was over a year before we finally decided to not have that company's product on our website. And it was two-pronged. One was because they kept making promises that the item would be in stock, and we were having customer service issues because even though we communicated with the customer it's going to be, you know, 3 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks, they kept coming back and pushing it out further and further and further. So their communication to us wasn't any good, and us trying to get through to them, emails went unanswered, phone calls went unanswered, and you know, obviously that's not something a water treatment company would do to one of their customers. They would be much more on top of things. So I just wanted to fill in some of that.
Yeah. Well, and kind of on that topic, and the last thing, if you are, you know, if you have training with your employees, and Paul, I know you probably do this. I love that what you said that I think should be noticed, that you're supporting your techs. You're offering them support, because one of the fastest ways to lose a tech or an employee is to not, you know, is to take the customer's side on that. And when the customer is clearly wrong, you know, I think the long-term damage of that, it's a kick in the, you know, it's a kick in the gut when, you know, if you went to the customer and appeased them and gave them a free softener or a free RO or something like that, when clearly they were the ones that were wrong. I worked with a company that happened one time where the company gave them a free softener when it was just clearly it was the customer just being a you know, just a jerk. So, and that was hard. You know, I was like, God, I want to work for a company that has my back, you know, that supports me. So I love what you're doing there. Now, if the employee is wrong, then you counsel the employee too. You know, you teach them so that you don't have those issues. There are sometimes people can get, you know, can exacerbate the problem. You know, they can, customers call up, they're frustrated, they're upset. And if you have an employee that's yelling back at them, it doesn't serve anybody. You know, that doesn't serve anybody. So you can certainly counsel them and work with your employees on that, but have their back, definitely. Any final thoughts here?
I'm going to send you an email from a newsletter that we get. It's called Customer Communicator, and it's what to say when you can't say yes.
Oh, good.
It's really, really good. I'll send it to you. Feel free to share.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul. Guys, next week, join us. I'm super excited. We have our guest speaker, the salt expert. So join us next week. Be in between there. Be safe. Don't breathe. And for those of you that are impacted by the Canadian wildfires, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.